Good afternoon, and welcome to all participants. I am pleased to announce that we have closed a very good year 2017. Of course, for detailed number, we will wait Stefano De Rosa to be precise, but we can already anticipate that both the top line and EBITDA are slightly better than expectation. It has not been an easy year because we had to reorganize three major acquisitions that happened during 2016, and we had to do this without the important support of an efficient ERP group of the group. We had to face also some challenges around the world. Probably you recall the logistic problem, the unexpected logistic problem in the United States and also in UK. Despite this, the market has been positive. Have been positive for us, and I can say that in order to better protect our coming months, we have also delayed a couple of projects. One is the reorganization of the UK plant that will occur the next month, let's say on time versus the last announcement that we did during the third quarter comments, and the Central European warehouse that now we can confirm will be in the full efficiency from the first of July. I would add two more comments that we have successfully started the implementation of the SAP system. I would say that the project is going on as in our best expectations. I think this implementation is key to achieve the next level of performances. The other important, let's say, argument, the business still maintain the features of the last, let's say, 2-3 years. So it's a business that is still very fragmented. And in this moment around the world, there is a lot of liquidity. So I think that this fragmentation will be an argument that will be always present in our future strategic discussion, because as FILA has successfully implemented the strategy in 2017, we want to continue our strategy in the years coming. So now I ask Stefano De Rosa to give us all the detail of the financial numbers, and I will be available for the Q&A sessions. Thanks.
Good afternoon to everybody. I kindly ask to go to page 4 of the presentation so that we can start to analyze the trend of the core business sales. FILA Group closed with a value of 510.4 million of core business sales, show an increase compared to the previous year equal to 20.8%. As we did for all the year, we need to normalize this growth from the M&A effect that you will know that is referred to the acquisition, mainly Canson Group, but also Dahler Group revenue. And we have to normalize also from this growth the FX effect In December, the FX effect was equal to negative 6 million, mainly due to the depreciation of the US dollar, pound, and Mexican pesos, a little mitigated by revaluation of India rupee against the euro. And depurating and normalizing this, the growth of the M&AF and FXF, the organic growth is equal to 4.7%. This value is better to the one that we achieved third quarter, that was 3%. This is mainly due, as you can see in the note, to the strong recovery and of made in North America. In the last quarter, North America did quarter on quarter more than 20% of revenue increase, and also related to the strong growth that we had in the last quarter in the South America area, related to Mexico in particular, where the Mexican company achieved more than 30% of growth quarter on quarter. Just to summarize, this explains also the better growth compared to the third quarter. Talking globally, we can say that the by geographic area for all the year, the growth is concentrated in the Central South America, with a growth of 15%, equal more or less to 9 million more than the previous year, and the country of is Mexico, but we had a good growth also in Chile, Argentina, and Brazil. And the second area where we had a very strong growth, double-digit growth, is Asia, with near 8 million of growth compared to the previous year, 15%. Of course, the reference country is India. In North America is 2.4% on the total year-on-year growth, but as I said before, this positive result, just to remember that in the third quarter we had a less 1.2%, if I remember well, of growth, so with the strong recovery of the last quarter, we were able to show a positive result for the total year in the North America. This just to close all the logistic issue that we had during the year, and we successfully resolve all these issues, closing with a better result compared to the previous year. Europe is stable, the growth is stable, and related to the product line, we show a growth in the other creative instrument, mainly related to glue and paints, and the country are Mexico and India. And we, compared to the last quarter, we increased the growth in the pencil, but it's mainly due to the strong recovery that we had in the North America area, where the Dixon company is mainly concentrating the sale of graphite pencil. Going to page 5, we can analyze the growth of the trend of the EBITDA. The FILA Group EBITDA closed with 80.6 million normalized, compared to 67.2 million of the previous year. The growth is the total growth is equal to 20%, and normalizing as we did for the revenue, the M&A effect and the FX effect, the organic growth is equal to 3.3%, more than the 2% that we had in the third quarter. I would like to highlight the FX effect that is equal, let me say the number, but we can say that is equal to zero, is less than 20,000 euro negative. So as we always say, we had a natural hedge in EBITDA, so the FX effect. Anyway, no more based on our history of the 1.52% of the total effect of the EBITDA. In this case, the FX effect, as I said, was near zero. We had 7.5 million of extraordinary items. We just increased a little compared to the third quarter because there were the final accrual for the layoff cost related to our converting plant in U.K. that will be closed in end of April. Normalizing from this effect, as I said, the EBITDA is equal to 80.6 million with a growth of 3.3%. It's interesting also to have a quick look to the margin, EBITDA margin. EBITDA margin is near to the EBITDA margin of the previous year. We are talking about 15.8% this year compared to 15.9%. This is the result of what we have seen during the year that we had a really best EBITDA margin, the two acquired company, Kansan and Dalair, compare our expectation, due to the some release in overhead synergy, but in particular to the commercial policy that we were focused on the revenue with a high margin. I mean, we work on the normalization of the price policy in order to improve the margin of these two company. These help us to reach a similar EBITDA margin compared the previous year. The growth of the EBITDA is 3.3%, so less than the growth of the revenue. This is due, normally we have a more than proportional growth in the EBITDA compared to revenue, and this growth is this effect is mainly due to some increase of fixed cost that we have this year, just related to the reinforcement of some department due to the acquisition. Talking about the marketing department, the IT department for the SAP project. We had some non-recurrent costs in the USA, in particular concentrated in the first half of the year, just to resolve the logistic issue. And we had some negative FX effect related to the not realized FX effect on the commercial balance sheet item. So this is 1 million more than the previous year, and this creates just a little effect, negative effect on the EBITDA margin. If we go to page six, we can analyze the trend of the net income. The net income of 2017 is equal to 29.1 million, that show an increase compared to the previous year of 0.9 million, that is equal to 3.1%. Compared to the previous year, I had to mention a normalization that is an exceptional normalization that we had in the financial result. Financial result area. This normalization is relating to the earnout payment that we will pay to the seller of Carson Group. There was an agreement that over 80 million of EBITDA result. This adjustment of price should be paid, and we will pay the in the near future, I mean within end of April, but this amount need to be accrued in 2017. And let's say that this is just a cashless accounting effect. It's important to point because it's due to the business combination. Normally, after 12 months that the business combination is closed, it's not possible. This is an increase of price, of course. So this increase of price should create a goodwill. But after 1 year, it's not possible to keep this goodwill if you didn't accrue it before in the balance sheet, and you need to put to expense this increase of value directly in the P&L. So just to explain why we have this 7.5 million the financial result. But consider that this item is normalized, and so the 29.1 million is the net result normalized from this effect. We show, compared to the previous year, an increase of depreciation amortization, more or less of 4 million, mainly due to the increase of depreciation of intangible assets coming from the business combination. We have an increase of 4 million of financial negative interest due to the M&A financing that was not didn't affect completely the 2016, but is this financing has a delivery interest as a full asset in 2017. And we have also a 5 million negative effect due to the negative FX effect that we have coming from some intercompany financing euro given to some group companies, mainly US company, Brazilian company, Turkey company, and South African company. So all these effects reduce the positive difference that we had in EBITDA if we have a look to the net result. Coming to the net financial position, the net financial position close to 239.6 million, so with an increase of 60.2 million compared to the previous year. The explanation of this increase is due to an operating cash flow equal to 28.1 million. We had a cash out for CapEx equal to 23.9 million. Then we have a cash out related to dividend payment to equal to 3.8 million. We paid interest for 8.3 million. And as I mentioned, we had also in the net financial position the accrual or the future cash out in 2017. Of 7.5 million related to the earnout that was offset partially for the 1 million of cash in that we have for disposal of the 30% of participation that we have in our Sweden company, Tira Nordic. And the last effect is 2.5 million related to a negative FX effect. All these effects explain the 16.2 million of increase of net debt. Let me just point that we had a lower EBITDA cash conversion compared to the previous year. Last year we had near 90% EBITDA cash conversion. This year we had 60% of EBITDA cash conversion. This explains this an effect of the lower operating cash flow that we have this year compared to the previous year. We have a lower operating cash flow of 12 million. Main reason this is maybe the main effect to be explained for the net financial position for this year. We had, of course, this lower generation operating cash flow for the strong revenue increase that we had in North America in the central and Mexico in particular, concentrating the last part of the year, And we have some temporary delay in collection in the North America due to the strong recovery of revenue that we ended the second part of the year, that was collection that was then fully receivables that were fully collected anyway in January. So we had just 1 month of postponement of collection in the USA that created this temporary effect in the net working capital. So just to summarize, the three main effects that we can have in the cash flow are a temporary lower generation coming from the working capital. We had this year a very strong amount of cash out related to CapEx. Just to remember, we had a strong investment for the central warehouse in France. It was 7 million, then a strong investment in India and U.K. And we have the accrual of the 7.5 million related to the earn-out. So these three main movements explain why there was this in-depth increase compared to the previous year in 2017. So I think that now we can open the section of any question you have.
We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star then one on your touch-tone phone. The first question is from Niccolò Storer of Mediobanca. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for taking my question, and good afternoon to everybody. My question relates to the profitability in the fourth quarter of the year. If I look at quarter-over-quarter progression, I see a deterioration of the environment in the fourth quarter, basically with the EBITDA adjusted or reported declining in a very strong way. So which are the drivers of this decline in taking into account that in terms of revenues and so volumes, I think that the fourth quarter is not that different from the other quarters of the year. Are you experiencing a sharp increase in raw material price that you are not able to pass on to customer or not yet able to pass on to customer, or is just something related to the higher fixed cost that you mentioned before? Thank you.
Maybe I start to answer to your question, then I will let Massimo to integrate my answer. I don't know if you refer to the drop to 17 to 15, but for us, it's normal anyway to have a drop of profitability from the third quarter to the fourth quarter because we realized a big part of revenue and margin the second, third quarter. And so, of course, fixed costs continue to grow in a stable way. And it's normal that every year we close the fourth quarter with a lower EBITDA margin compared to the third quarter. So there is no particular, I think, phenomenon compared the normal trend of F.I.L.A. I can highlight that the EBITDA margin was really better than our expectation because in our mind, we thought to be lower or, let's say, 1% near 15%, not near 16%, because we thought and our expectation was to have a better, I would say, a bigger dilution effect coming from the two new companies, Canson and Dalara. But anyway, the margin of these two companies was better for what I said before. So there is no particular effect compared to the previous year, the normal trend. It's normal that the fourth quarter let's say 1-2 points less of EBITDA margin compared to the third quarter.
Yes, I can confirm what Stefano just said and give you even a couple of more elements that go in the same direction. The company that we have acquired need definitely to reduce their break-even point. And if you remember, we have been forced to postpone the shutdown of UK plant to April 2018. These have generated two consequences. One is that we have higher fixed cost in UK, and second, that Canson paper organization has not yet absorbed the volume of UK because UK were overstocked during 2017. So typically Canson had historically problems of volume, so in the last quarter they were destroying their profitability due to not enough volumes. This is a problem that we have solved, but unfortunately have gone longer compared to our expectation. The situation will definitely improve in 2018. The same situation happened with the warehouse. We are still working with five warehouses in Europe, while with the new central warehouse, we are going to have substantial improvement in labor cost because it's a manual activity, and also in the amount of the overhead because we have lease cost, we have indirect cost of the structure of the warehouse. So clearly, the fact that we have postponed these two projects that now are very close to be finalized definitely had not helped us to improve the profitability in a quarter in which historically we have a slowdown of the activity.
Okay, thank you. And the other question is on the net financial income line. I saw a deterioration in the fourth quarter. Should I assume that this is related to some non-cash effects from Forex exchange? Thank you.
Yeah, you are related to the P&L, I think.
Yes.
And so, yes, we have two effects. We have 5 million of more negative FX compared to the previous year. And then we have the in the not normalized P&L with the 7.5 million earnout, because this, as I say, it's an accounting effect. Normally this amount should be in the goodwill classification, the balance sheet, but having closed the grace period for the business combination, these 12 months, we never accrued, we never estimate to pay this in our estimation, this earnout, because our estimation was for a lower EBITDA in 2017. So one time that we realized that this should be paid, it was not possible to keep this 7.5 million as a goodwill, so it should be put in as expenses in the P&L. So the two differences are the 7.5 million and more or less 5 million negative FX effect due to the intercompany financing, in particular USA.
Okay, so basically the 7.5 million falls in the fourth quarter, while the other 5 million of Forex is for the year, basically.
Yeah, and you had also in the third quarter, more or less. So the new is the 7.5 for this quarter.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Sì, sì.
The next question is from Daniele Alibrandi of Intermonte SIM. Please go ahead.
Hello, Massimo and Stefano, and thanks for taking my question. I got actually three. My first question is on current trading. There was a strong sequential sales acceleration in Q4 with a strong exit rate to full year 17, I guess. So I was wondering if you can share with us some comments on how underlying trends are going with now 3 months almost already in your books. My My second question is on synergies delivery. Could you please share with us where we are now with implementation of the new central warehouse and the new ERP system? And what should we expect in terms of synergies in full year 2018? Is there any chance maybe to see a flattish or even declining total cost base? And the last question, last but not least, actually, is regarding the news flow on your shareholding structure, which has been pretty intense in the last couple of months. If you could please share with us an update on it and what if this should also impact on have an impact on the M&A in the short term. Thanks very much.
Sorry, can you repeat the third question, because I'm not sure I have understood.
Yes, there was. I mean, I was referring to the to the share of Simona. There's been a lot of pretty intense news flow in on the newspapers in the last couple of months. So, if you can share with us an update, maybe if can should we what should we expect in terms of M&A? Thanks.
Ah, okay. Okay, thank you for the questions. Concerning the actual trading, I mean, we fall, I think, into the view of 2018. I think that our expectations for 2018 are very similar to what happened in 2017. And let me summarize. There are areas of the world which we still continue being very positive, like Southeast Asia and all the American continent. So, I mean, North, Central, and South America. We are, let's say, the market in our old Europe looks a little bit more flat. Of course, needless to say, and I'm sure you can understand, we have a great expectation from the central warehouse. Until now, we could not really implement commercial synergies because for a customer it was difficult to accept for, and this is also related to SAP, for invoices, for deliveries from four different warehouses. So clearly, in a stable market, the fact that we are going to be more efficient will allow us to start stronger cross sales. 2018 probably we will arrive a little bit too long. That's why I don't expect 2018 stronger in terms of sales versus 2017, but definitely this will become a competitive advantage. So I would say any year that is in line with, let's say, with our business. Concerning the performances of the central warehouse, the synergies will be substantial because there are two elements in 2018 that will improve our profitability. Not only the fact that we have almost worldwide increased prices on an average of 2.5 to 3%, but we're going to have the reduction of this of the cost related to the UK plant and the fact that we are going to reduce substantially the logistic cost. Substantially, not only because we are going to merge four warehouses into one, but mainly because we have made a big investment in the system, the way this new warehouse will work, and really the cost of the labor cost will be substantially reduced. We expect only for the warehouse on a yearly basis, we expect roughly 1 million euro of less operative cost, not mentioning the increased efficiency and the reduction of the safety stock. Concerning the last question, I would like to remember you, and then I will add some comments, that whatever happened in the holding company has really zero impact on F.I.L.A. because the shares that are under the control of my sister have no governance. This was clearly a decision that goes back to many years. So really, whatever will happen will not change at all the destiny of the strategy, the decisions. So, and I have a large majority, so I have more than 65%, and I have the control of the ordinary and extraordinary decisions, full control, I underline. Said that, I have a right of first refusal on the offer that my sister has received. Unfortunately, until now, I cannot exercise this first refusal because the offer that she has received is largely incomplete. So in this moment, the right of first refusal, I have not yet even started to consider or to exercise because many elements are missing. So I have sent an official request of clarification that, by the way, are compulsory, especially for the holding company that is on top of a listed company. I hope they will answer properly if they can. If they can't, probably we will not have ever the pleasure to have them on board. So I'm sitting and waiting.
Okay, thanks very much.
The next question is from Alessandro Cecchini of Equita. Please go ahead.
Hello, everybody. I have some questions. The first one is about the ERP system that you are implementing. I would like to better understand the process and what is your current feeling, and in particular, what could be the impact on the net working capital sale for full year or better in 2 years from time frame in terms of net working capital on sales. This is my first question. My second question is about CapEx. This year, CapEx have been very, very high or higher than usual at 24 million. I would like to better understand what kind of CapEx level do you expect for the following 2 years. And I would like to back a little bit on Europe. So this year has been flattish. I would like to understand if do you expect to overperform the market in 2018, considering your offer, your diversification, and so on, just to understand this trend. Thank you.
Stefano, do you prefer to answer on the first two points in terms of then so I can comment later.
Okay, so about the ERP, Alessandro, ciao Alessandro, and about the ERP, as Massimo say, the plan, we are compliant to the plan that we had, was a successful beginning, not with big issue on the business. And as we always, because you mentioned the process is in progress. As you know, we have a full, a very strong rollout plan also for this year and for the next year. So our expectation are positive because the beginning was in line and with our best expectations, Massimo said. As I mentioned, no, as let me point that the investment of this ERP is in line, will be in line with what we always say, will be between 4 to 5 million euros. What we have also to consider that we will have an impact, and of course our view is more clear now because especially in the end of the last year, we have a clear picture of the also the OpEx related to this project. I think that is important to consider that we will have also maybe an impact of 1 million of more OpEx related to all the management of the new system related to the web hosting and all the operating costs related to run the system that maybe was not very clear at the beginning of the project. About the net working capital ratio on sales, as we always discuss, our target to reach the 40% or to go under the 40% is the minimum target that we have. This is confirmed. It's our target for the future. About the CapEx, you have to consider that  2017-2018 are two very particular year. In 2017, we had 7 million of the cash out and the investment in France, but we had very strong investment of the U.K., and we had very strong investment also in India. For 2018, the situation will be similar because the investment will continue to be strong in India, where our expectation are still to have a growth of double-digit growth. Investment are strong there, but will be strong also in U.K., and will continue also in Italy for the second part of SAP investment. I think that these 2017-2018 years should be considered quite particular year. I think, based on my estimation, from 2019 year, we will come back to a normal level of investment that I think that it will be near 15-16 million of CapEx.
Okay. You said below 40% net working capital on sales?
Yes, from 2019.
Okay.
Yeah. I would like to add a couple of comments. As you know, Alessandro, when you implement an ERP system in short term, you can only have negative surprises, and the benefit will come when you will finish implementation. Fortunately, we did not have negative surprises. In this moment, we start to be very positive on all whatever we have scheduled and our roadmap. I think that this is a very good news because frankly speaking, all of us, we were very scared when we were talking about this revolution for F.I.L.A. Group, that as F.I.L.A. Group, especially in the area of working capital, is very weak. I think the improvement will be, I could say, easy at this point. Concerning Europe. Europe, in this moment, we see a weak market with some exception. 2018 is doing extremely well in U.K., extremely well in Scandinavia, extremely well in the area of Spain, Portugal. Central Europe is more difficult. Italy, we see a sell-out of the market. Generally speaking, talking with retailers, the mass product are see, let's say, a very weak first quarter in Italy. We have some important positive news. I repeat that the central warehouse will be key to start taking market share from the competition, and I can confirm I am very positive. Already I have some interesting news. For example, it's the first time in the history of F.I.L.A. that in France, the big retailers has put our Giotto line in their assortment. Now they start to see us as a serious supplier thanks to Canson. So, for example, to give you a small number, I don't want this has to be considered a global rule, but a very important sign, with the French retailer, this year we are going to grow between 20 to 25%. It's a small sign that tell you the importance of the cross sales. Of course, this cannot happen in Italy, in Spain, in Germany, because we still miss the central warehouse. So, to repeat what I said, Europe in this moment it's a very stable market, and we can only grow taking market share from the competition. Different in the other parts of the world in which the market is more brilliant.
Okay, so basically when you said I expect 2018 similar to 2017 in terms of organic growth, do you basically confirm that the 4% average, historical average, 4-5% is something reasonable according to your current view?
Yes, yes. I think that, the good side of our business is that we never see strong negative or strong positive trends. It's generally speaking, it's a very stable business. We, of course, benefit from the fact that we are exposed to markets that are growing more than others: India, Mexico, United States, Brazil. So here, clearly, we have a better opportunity versus the competition. But let me tell you that Europe is an extremely fragmented market in our business. So the fact that we are going to be much more efficient from July on makes me to be, frankly speaking, positive on our future, even if the market remains stable.
Okay. Many thanks.
As a reminder, if you have a question, please press star then one. There is no question at the moment. The next question is from Pierre Castella of GMP. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, good evening to both of you. Your target of 40 or sub 40% net working capital, when do you think one can expect that to be achieved? Do you have any time horizon for that? Thank you.
Yeah, we are going to show already an important improvement in 2018. Not because we are doing an unbelievable job, because 2017 I think we touched the most difficult situation, because we had all the restructuration. So 2018 will show already a strong improvement. In 2018, probably we will see the final step in which we can combine improvement and efficiency. So a strong improvement in December 2018, stability in 2019.
So you expect, you expect this 2018 number to be around 40%, or do you expect that to trend gently over time towards 40%?
Yeah. Stefano, can you ask, because probably you have the figures in front of you. Thanks.
It will be near, I think, this value, and our target is, as you say, to improve this 14 in the 90. So I can say that we'll be near to the 40% in 41%, let's say, in 2018, just to try to go under in 19.
Right. Okay. Because if I take the average of your net your working capital position at the end of each quarter in 2017, I've got an average number of 264.4 million, and that's if I am to assume that from 50 it's roughly 50+% of your sales. In fact, it's 52% of your sales, something like that. If I assume that Can I assume that I will see a 40 million impact on net working capital for the year then? Around 40 million. How will that work? Because it's a lot. It's a big number, 10% of sales. That's 50 million net working capital. That's a lot of money. How can you be sure that, you know, it's a, I don't know, it looks very high to me.
Thanks for the question. It's a lot, but it's not a lot compared to the fact that we are in a very inefficient situation in this moment. So it depends from where you regard the coin. So in reality, in 2017, if you consider all the impact we had to manage, so we had to increase the stock to shut down the UK plant. We have faced a big problem in United States, and in fact, we have terminated the CEO and not having an ERP system of the group. We did not have under control a lot of information like planning, like orders that, by the way, we have discovered during the season were different from what he communicated to us. So this was the reason why we terminated him. We had to increase substantially the level of the stock due to the very poor service we gave to the customers until July. And frankly speaking, we gave instruction to stay on the safe side. The reorganization has impacted also the production in Germany. Before us, they have shut down a plant, but the service of dealer was literally horrible. In UK, we have shut down three or four different warehouses, and we started with a new warehouse in July that made us suffer a lot until August, and we started working properly around October, but this has generated again an increase of working capital and again customer not paying on time because we made them suffer. So there is so much inefficiency in all our or has occurred so much inefficiency in 2017 that frankly speaking the improvement it's already how can I say in our pocket. And of course now as we have stability in production, because in UK we are going to shut down in April, we are going to have stability in the central warehouse because it would start 1st of July, and our working capital measure will occur in December 2018. Plus all the inefficiencies we had last year in the United States that we are already solving, frankly speaking, I think the target is absolutely realistic.
Okay, thank you.
I would like also to point, just to reinforce what Massimo said, that maybe it's a little misleading to do an average of the working capital, in particular this year where we were full of, we had some strong inefficiency as the recovery of the turnover in North America and some particular issues. So I think that it's more precise to work on the final value, year-end value of the working capital, because with the average you can have, we have maybe a stronger seasonality in the working capital than in the revenue in this moment. So to do an average could be a little misleading. So maybe it's better to think about the final value of the working capital. And I confirm that we will have this improvement this year compared to the previous year. So about the value that I just confirmed that it will be, let's say, near 41%, not under, but will be near the 40%.
Okay, thanks.
The next question is from Giorgio Martorelli of Amber Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes. Hello, Giorgio.
Hi. I have a couple of questions, if I may. The first one on the net financial position. We understand that the December month was very heavy in terms of working capital, also because some of the invoice were not paid, were arrived late to your U.S. clients. So I was wondering if you can already give us a sort of guidance on the trend of the net financial position for the first quarter 2018. Should we expect, I mean, a significant or relevant improvement relative to the peak we reached in December 17, or will be a more gradual decline during the year? And the second question, if I may, is on the profitability. You were saying that we will have, thanks to the integration of the new brand, the warehouse, all the synergies coming, commercial and cost synergies, a further improvement in EBITDA margin. I was wondering if you can give us a sort of, you know, qualitative guidance in terms of EBITDA margin improvement in 2018. Even if, as I understand, it will be more back-end loaded as we will get the benefit only starting from July 2018. Yeah. And finally, if I may, on the tax rate, you have a relevant exposure to the U.S. Looking at your reported income statement, we still have a quite large tax rate. Can you tell us if I think it will be, but we have a positive impact from the Trump fiscal reform and what kind of tax rate or decline in tax rate we may see going forward. Thanks very much.
Stefan, I think you should answer all the three questions.
Yeah. So let's start from the last question. We estimate, of course, it's quite complex, the Trump reform, because in an easy way, we estimate, of course, an improvement related to the cash saving of coming from tax, because we will have this amount of saving due to the decrease of the tax rate from 35% to 21%. So this is reflected in our estimation. Then the reform is quite complex because USA has some subsidiary worldwide. We have to study the complete effect of the other item of the reform that are the maybe deemed dividend taxation that we could have related to some USA subsidiary. But generally, Giorgio, I can confirm that we estimate the material saving, let's say about 3-4 million of US dollar. That must be then confirmed from other analysis because the reform is quite complex. Also related to the deduction of interest that we will have to introduce, and so other aspects. So more or less, we will have these 3-4 million that we have to final check also with other analysis. Then related to the net financial position, we had a strong recovery in the first part of the year, coming from the temporary effect that we had in the last quarter. So our expectation is to have generally a strong 2018, a very better EBITDA cash conversion, that higher than the one that we had in 17, with a recovery. Just to talking about the temporary delay of collection, we collect everything in January, so this is confirmed, of course. Then we started from the first quarter to have a cash absorption coming from our seasonality effect. So this, of course, will be mitigated by the cash coming from 17. That I can confirm that is confirmed because the collection was totally recovered.
Yeah, we expect a cash generation over 100% in 2018.
Okay.
And the last question was
profitability.
Yeah.
And can you just recap Generally, maybe I will say that the EBITDA margin, I think that of course will improve compared to 2017. I estimate some, as I mentioned before, some impact coming from some increase of fixed costs that are mainly related to the OPEX coming from the SAP project. But considering that, so this will mitigate a little the increase that we will have. But for sure, the EBITDA margin will be better because we improve every year for the normal synergy that we release. We will not have, as it happened in 2017, some considerable amount of non-recurring cost that we had in the USA. So of course, just for this reason, it will improve. Let's say that Massimo can confirm that our expectation, of course, is to go over the 16% of the margin.
Yes, we continue to see an improvement of the EBITDA margin just for the fact that we shut down a plant and we shut down four warehouses. Then I would like to remember you that we have started in 2017 a commercial strategy that starts to take out from our perimeter all the SKUs that are below a certain margin. And this strategy will continue. So probably we could have a lower improvement on the top line, but a proportional higher improvement in profitability. We think this is necessary because we need to rationalize our offer. We need to reduce the number of SKU we are offering to the market, but we don't want to do that all at once because the market would not like it. But there is a clear trend. And having put together a global offer that is extremely interesting for our customers, we will see this trend continue for 2018 and also 2019.
Okay, thanks very much.
There is no question at the moment. The next question is a feedback from Pierre Castella of GMP. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, one more question. If I look at your product lines, your three product lines, could you please tell me, just in bold numbers and general terms, the range of EBITDA margin that you have in those three divisions, the lowest one, the highest one, just some kind of indication, if you may.
Stefano, if you want to give a mathematical answer, generally speaking, I can anticipate we don't have differences, but Stefano, maybe you can give more details.
No, I will answer in the same way because in the MELA study, I can say that normally, in particular, was concentrated on the gross margin related to the to this product family because I think it is a little more precise than to talk about gross margin than maybe the margin, but it's quite similar. We have some product that is higher as gross margin than other one. We have some, of course, some fan art product can have a better margin, but the range is not so huge between all the families, so the average is similar to for everybody because we have a range of 45%. Then we have some industrial products that have a high margin, but we're talking about niche. But maybe Massimo, you can be more precise. I don't have a specific.
It's homogeneous, no?
We don't have difference between families. We have some niche product that could give higher margin, but they cannot affect the global profitability. The profitability is more affected by probably by geographic areas more than
I can assume more or less that if one family of products grows faster than the other, there shouldn't be like a significant impact one way or another on the margins performance, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Yes. And this is the same for the currency. You have seen big changes in the currencies in 2017. The impact on our EBITDA was zero. So I think we have, as we always say, we have a very consistent strategy with a substantial competitive advantage versus the competition.
Okay, thank you.
There is no question at the moment. Again, if you have a question, please press star then one. There is no question at the moment.
Okay, I think, Massimo, that we can thank everybody to attend the meeting. I don't know if you want to conclude with some sentence particular, this call.
No, thanks. Thanks a lot to attend our meeting, and I look forward to meet you in person as soon as possible.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, bye. Bye.